This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
You're listening to the Celtic Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. What a show we have for you. 30 minutes of Celtic, as it is every Tuesday, 8:30 to 9 o'clock. It is when the Celtic takeover happens. What a show we have for you. So much for us to talk about. Obviously, two games, beating Kilmarnock 3-1, Ross County 3-0, and a new signing confirmed. One that we mentioned last week. Owen, I don't know, maybe you've noticed, maybe you haven't. It's the Celtic Fan Show. You're Celtic fans, you're listening now. I think there might have been a small twist and a turn in the Scottish Premiership this week, because Rangers have blinked Celtic, maybe causing the first blow. They now have that cushion. And my main man, John McGinley from the Grand Old Podcast, is joining me for the next 30 minutes to talk all about it. John, always a positive, upbeat show with you, but there was a blow this week with Rangers losing to Hearts. We're going to cover that, but we're going to tease it for now. I'm going to make you just wait that little bit longer. Let's start with the other good news. Is Mayla Sorrow is now confirmed. We spoke about it last week. Finally pleased to get this one over the line, John.
I think so, and you know, it was a bit protracted in terms of firstly the negotiations, then there's, you know, his work permit issues, etc. So it's good to get him through the door. Lennon seems pretty upbeat about what he's got to offer the midfield. Seems to me that he's going to be a kind of combative and athletic midfielder, and it looks like he could get some games between now and the end of the season. I don't think there's an immediate expectation for him to be taking the place of Scott Brown or Cal McGregor in the team. So it's going to be one of these ones that develops over a little bit of time. But, you know, as we've mentioned before, I think doing business in January window for the future isn't the worst idea in the world, especially when they've already got good options in midfield. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, John, Celtic have been quite busy in this window. They've been quite active. They obviously signed Patrick Klimala. You know, we've seen him get a few minutes on the pitch, hoping for an impact with him. But obviously, he's signing for the future, you know, the next generation of stars. You know, he's very young. But obviously, is Mayla Sorrow now confirmed also? But there has been a little bit of talk that Celtic, maybe where they do need reinforcements or, you know, a few additions, is defensive. Mm-hmm. Ones. There's not much longer left in the window. Could we see it?
The jury's out. I mean, I would like to think that the club are working on it, but today Neil Lennon kind of seemed to suggest that there wasn't any imminent deals in the offer, and he seemed to say that he was pretty happy with the squad that he's got, and that, you know, if we ended the window even without adding any more, he'd be, you know, hopeful about the rest of the season. For me, I think the defence is an area of the team that does need strength in, just in depth more than anything. I think, as we've discussed again, you know, Lennon switched to a back three formation in recent weeks, and I think that we've only got three first choice defenders there. So Lennon's wanting to do that in other matches towards the end of the season, and we don't really have any natural replacements beyond, you know, Julian, Ayar and Simunovic, who is just coming back from knee surgery, then I would suggest we really do need a defender. And I think if the club don't deliver it, there'll be a little bit of reaction from the support, because Lennon's comments, they didn't go down well at all.
Yeah, I want to talk about those comments. Well, they didn't go down well. What's the general feeling amongst the fans and everyone connected with the club then right now, John?
I think it's a feeling of frustration perhaps with not quite added what Neil Lennon stated he wanted at the start of the January transfer window. He said he was looking for a bit of experience. He said he was looking for a bit of added support in the wing areas after the departure of Scott Sinclair. And those haven't been delivered. We've signed two 21-year-olds, so the experience isn't there. And although there's reason to be hopeful about Klimala and Sorrow, you know, we need to deliver on Lennon's stated ambitions at the start of the window. And I know the January window is difficult. There is realities to it. You know, I'm not slating the club here by any means, but I think that there'll be a slight bit of concern about the depth of the squad moving forward if we don't sign a little bit more in those key areas.
Yeah, well, Gordon Strachan actually come out and said the one thing that Celtic have over Rangers is that squad depth. You know, that's why they have the advantage maybe in this race. I know you want to add to it. It's always interesting, though, John, I always find, and not just Celtic, any football club, when you sort of get a manager speaking, you know, going, look, we need this, we wanted this, we've not got this. Yeah. And I don't want to say going against the board and the front office and maybe the decision makers up top, but it's clear, you know, because it's sort of like a subliminal message speaking to the fans. Fans going, I hear you, the fans. I'm with you. I want this, and I want you to know that if we don't get this, it's not because of me. Am I reading too much into that, or is that fair, John?
I think perhaps at this stage is reading a little bit too much into it. I don't think Lennon's unhappy in his role, and I don't think Lennon's really unhappy with the recruitment. And I think that it's more about. I think any frustration he would have would be more about, you know, the difficulties of the actual transfer window itself. I'm sure he believes that the club are doing everything possible to sign players. I think he's stated on the record this month that he's perfectly happy with the job that McCallum's doing. So his job is recruitment first and foremost. So I think it would just be a general frustration that he didn't quite get what was wanted within our valuation, within the money that we can spend. But I think he's quite happy with Celtic at the moment, I would suggest.
Yeah, absolutely. I wasn't questioning his happiness, obviously, his levels. It was just more, you know, like you said, this frustration that the board, he wanted a veteran. They've gone out and signed these youngsters, and now we're talking about it, and there's, what, 3 days left? It's going to be very hard. If we've not seen it by January 28th, will he get that veteran in? Because we signed one kid, then we've signed another, and maybe in what is the closest race we've seen for a few seasons, what maybe could push Celtic over the line, we've not quite seen. And maybe, again, we never know. But in hindsight, we don't want to be 6 months down the line and going, that was where we missed out here. You know, we really, this was where it all fell apart by not getting this one thing.
Yeah, I mean, if there's any transfer window in the recent history of Celtic not to have any regrets about, it's this one, just given the stakes that are involved here. But I'll just say, you know, I'm not particularly happy with Lennon's comments today, but it all needs to be judged after the deadline closes, because as we know, things move quickly, especially in the last few days, and we'll see what the club managed to come up with. And, you know, over the next few days, deadline's at midnight on Friday, there's a lot of work to be done. What will happen?
Yeah, absolutely. It will completely change, not just maybe Celtic on the weekend, but our show next week, John, because who knows? You rightly pointed out, it changes very, very quickly in football. Deals can be done in minutes. Let's talk about actual football then on the pitch. Beating Kilmarnock 3-1. That man, we spoke about him at length last week, Griff, scored again. Just unbelievable. And made a point with his celebration once more, John.
Yeah, he made a point to Chris Boyd in particular, I think, was the feeling on the Sky Sports desk after, you know, Boyd suggested he only had a few weeks to save his Celtic career. Don't think Griffiths took kindly to that and other comments that have been flying about from other reporters on social media. So he made a point of himself, and there was a lot of drama after the game because, you know, Boyd had another go at the full-time whistle, and that caused the reaction from Celtic and Celtic fans. So it's all been happening. I think there's a line being drawn under it all now, and Griffiths will be looking to move on to the rest of the season. As we spoke about at length last week, really, a lot of the criticism for me about Griffiths has been over the line. And I think hopefully pundits and reporters and other such people perhaps just take a little bit more consideration about what's happened with him over the last year and what he can offer Celtic over the next few months.
Yeah, and I want to get on to, obviously, how good Edouard is, but I think we can cover that in the Ross County game again, because I think every game that Celtic play, this is a man that we'll need to be talking about. But it's interesting, another man we spoke about was Julian, obviously, scoring in the game against Kilmarnock, and that was after the mistake that we spoke about last week, and it was nice for him to get back on a score sheet. He has done that this season, but it was just nice for him to have that moment of joy. Not that it was a huge mistake last week, but just to have a positive one rather than a negative moment.
No, he's a big man. He's got a big mentality. I think that, you know, for every poor performance that he's perhaps put in this season, you know, he's come up with two good ones. So he's a great player, and I think his threat from set pieces is notable. And it was interesting to hear Lennon actually said that was one of the reasons he was signed, not just for his defensive capabilities, but for what he can offer at set pieces and corners. Scored a set-piece goal against Rangers in the League Cup final. He scored against Lazio from a header as well. So he's popping up on big moments. His goal last week wasn't quite as important as those goals, but I think he'll have a part. He'll have something to say over the next few months as we get down to the wire in all these competitions, because, you know, it could come down to an odd set-piece goal here or there, and I think Julian would be the man to get it.
Yeah, and obviously Scott Brown had a few things to say when he said that if he'd done the challenge on Frimpong, people would have been in absolute uproar. I think he's got a point there, because nothing really happened, and it was a bad challenge, wasn't it, on a man that's been just as impressive as well for Celtic?
Yeah, it was very poor, and it was just, you know, action needs to be taken on tackles like that for me. We can't have young players coming through the Scottish leagues and getting, you know, powered by these, you know, senior professionals who should know better. And the only joy of it was that Frimpong's not as quite as seriously injured as everyone first thought. He was getting treatment for a long time on the pitch. He was stretchered off, and there was a real worry that he could be out for a serious length of time. But Lennon seems to have suggested that he's not quite as badly injured as first thought, so that's a real bonus. But these challenges are unacceptable for me, and, you know, from opposition players or Celtic players, it's not something they like to see. And it was just very heavy, and his trailing leg was high and on his kind of knee, and you just can't do that these days.
Yeah, absolutely. Very glad that it's not as worse as first feared. Obviously got the 3 points. Let's talk about Ross County. Weird game, because for people that didn't watch this and look maybe just here on paper, you know, you see 3-0, very comfortable for Celtic. Wasn't quite the way it started, though. You know, you wouldn't have thought it, but Ross County had some great chances in the first half, and Celtic were looking a little bit, I don't want to say suspects, but they were looking a little bit open and vulnerable, wasn't they, to start with, John?
A little bit, yeah. It was kind of perhaps going to be one of those days. They had a few good chances, and if they'd taken them, then it could have turned out far differently. We kind of edged ahead with a penalty, but at half time, you know, there was a lot of fans saying this performance isn't quite good enough, and kind of rumbled on a little bit into the second half until the introduction of Edouard, who came off the bench and was the super sub on the day and was just phenomenal, scoring minutes after he came on, and then a second goal that was excellent as well. So he's just amazing. He's the best player in the country for me. You know, a lot said about Morelos, a lot said about other players in Scotland, but Edouard's head and shoulders for me. And he's just a fantastic player with coolness and composure and just a lethal finishing instinct. And I think that he's going to score many more goals between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, well, I was going to say that you went for coolness and composure. I'm going for clinical. I mean, 15 goals last year, 16 this year, and nearly as exciting as this Celtic and Rangers toe-to-toe in the league this season. Just as interesting, Edouard versus Morelos. But Edouard, I mean, what a player Celtic have on their hands. Lennon even going as far as saying maybe the best we've seen, possibly right up there in the last 20 years.
Yeah, well, certainly since Henrik Larsson, that's the current debate among some fans at the moment.
Too early for that, John. Too early. Larsson's God.
No, I mean, he's not better than Larsson, but perhaps the best striker since Larsson. Yeah. I think that's what people are saying. And I think it really comes down to whether you prefer Dembele or Edouard. And I think that at the moment, Edouard just seems to be showing a little bit more for me. Dembele had an amazing lightning first season at Celtic, but after that, you know, didn't quite hit those heights again. For me, Edouard's just been a little bit more consistent for us. And I think that, you know, by the end of his time at Celtic, it could well be that he was our best player since Larsson. I think that is a distinct possibility. And he's just so creative as well. He's not just a goal scorer. You can play in other people. You can hit on the counter-attack. He's got, you know, double figures assists for the season as well. So he's just been magical.
Yeah, he has been magical. He just looks like he can sort of sniff out a moment of magic from nowhere. When you least expect it, he's in a tight space in the box, and then comes a goal. You know, he's just got it. I don't know what it is, but I'm sure he needs to bottle it up. Celtic will want to bottle it up, because he is on an absolute tear this season. John, we're going to look at the rest of, obviously, the transfer window. Maybe is there any additions in that 3 days? But obviously, Rangers did lose. It has opened it up. That's the big talking point, and that's the one we're covering at Love Sport Radio.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Celtic Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. We're in the middle of the Celtic takeover, and who better to join us than John McGinley from the Grand Old Podcast. Remember, if you want extra Celtic content, please check them out on Twitter and their podcast. These are the guys in the know. That's why we get them on this show. And there is still time for you to have your say. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 70 20 558. Well, John, it's rare that we have a show. There's two games for us to look at. Celtic have made a signing, and still that is not the biggest news for us to cover. I've made you wait. Rangers blinked on the weekend, losing to Hearts. To be fair, we do a Rangers fan show, and they were not, I don't want to say worried, but they said, look, Hearts always find an extra 40%. They do it whenever they play Celtic, whenever they play Rangers. There's just that extra thing. You know, going up, every team wants to beat one of you two. Rangers blinked. How key, how big is this moment, John, right here, right now?
Well, I think it was certainly a pleasing moment for myself. I think for every Celtic supporter, obviously. And I think that, you know, time will tell just if it is a big turning point in the title race. For me personally, I think it could be. And I think, you know, the evidence is there last season. You know, after the derby, Charlie, you know, there was a lot of chat coming out of Ibrox from Rangers fans, etc. And I said to you, you know, just look at last year, because we actually lost the derby before New Year that time. And after the break, you know, Rangers fell away and Celtic kept consistent. And I think, you know, we've gone out and done the job we needed to do after the break. And the first real test that they've had, they've faltered a little bit. And now we'll see whether they have the bottle for the upcoming schedule of games, because it's thick and fast for them too. And Gerrard seemed to invite questions on the bottle of his team. So clearly he's got a little bit of worry about that. And, you know, I think it's big for Celtic now. I think, the you know, just the momentum shifts back to us and it gives us more confidence in our matches. It's all in our own hands again. And I think if we go on a run now, we've got some away games coming up, but I think if we go on a little bit of a run here, then we're looking very, very cosy for the rest of the season.
Well, this is it, because, you know, all the stories are born from what's happened before. You know, history, you know, sometimes it's known for repeating itself. Last year, up until Christmas, that New Year period, it was kind of toe-to-toe. Rangers were making a fist of it. They folded. Everyone knows what happened. They absolutely went away. Celtic went on. The treble was won. This year, everyone was making more bones about it. And I don't want to write Rangers off after one win, obviously.
No,
who knows
course.
What happens? They've still got to play each other. There'll still be some slip-ups to come, and Celtic won't do that. You know, they don't want to blink themselves next. But are we seeing a repeat here, John, again? Because it has been Rangers that have blinked, and even Gerrard saying, you know, he's quite honest and transparent when he speaks, and even said himself, we have been blinked first. Now we have to see how we react. And a lot was made from Rangers winning that derby. Oh, the tide has turned. That Rangers were even better in the League Cup final, even though it was Celtic won. And Celtic just maybe went about their business, bided their time, and now it's Celtic with that cushion and gap.
You know, it's just quite interesting, I think, when you compare the kind of comments that come out of both clubs after your results. I think there was a lot of, you know, there was a lot said after the derby, as I've mentioned. But Celtic just kept the message quite simple. They said it wasn't good enough, but we're just going to keep on keeping on. And then after the match against Hearts at the weekend, Gerrard seemed to go way over the top with his criticism of me. I know it was a poor result for them, but he just totally threw his players under the bus. And I don't think having, you know, those kind of extreme reactions to results, whether positive or negative, are particularly constructive. It's all about just staying focused, keeping yourself to yourself, and showing what you can do actually on the pitch. So for me, you know, Gerrard's comments were very interesting after the match on Sunday. And I think that tells me a lot about the mentality of him and his team. He seems to be quite an emotional person, and I think that comes with a little bit with an experience. And I think we actually saw that kind of thing from Neil Lennon during his first spell at the club, when he was kind of a rookie manager. And I think now Lennon has the experience and the composure and calmness to just kind of play everything down and just get on with the task involved. And I'm not sure if Gerrard's got that side to his management game yet.
Oh, yes, it's really interesting. And it's actually interesting that the comparisons, the parallel comparisons with Neil Lennon the first time he went around, because, you know, everyone knows for his passion and his touchline antics. Gerrard does that, the kissing of the camera, running up to the camera, the fist at the crowd, you know, getting the crowd riled up. And as much as he's adored and loved for it, maybe there is a little bit of inexperience, you know, maybe too much of his heart on his sleeve. And now the players will have to blink, and it's going to be harder to react in that way and bounce back, and for both teams, because they're attacking on all fronts also. You know, soon we'll be talking about the return of the European football, and the team, like we said, it's not as big as Celtic, that squad depth, it will be stretched.
Yeah, and, you know, far from me to talk too much about Rangers, but, you know, just looking at their squad, they've not really strengthened in this window at all. And they're kind of looking to sell players by all reports, or getting rid of players that they only signed in the last transfer window. There was reports in the Daily Record that Jordan Jones and Brandon Barker might be off during this window. So it seems to be a little bit of panic stations for me, and I don't think they have as good depth as Celtic. As much as I want Celtic to add more, you know, I still think we've got a better squad overall. And I think it's really telling when they're missing Alfredo Morelos and they're missing their captain at right back, just how much they crumble. And I think that was a factor on Sunday too. We are relying on Edouard, there's no doubt about it, but I think without him, you know, we don't do as badly as they do when they're without Morelos. So those are definitely differences to me, and I think Celtic are very well placed now to stamp their authority on this league.
Well, this is it, because this, for me, is the bigger question. Like you said, we don't want to talk about Rangers. This is Celtic Fan Show, but it's now all eyes are on Celtic, because when a team does blip, it's not just how Rangers bounce back, it's what Celtic do, because, you know, the next two games, both away, both in the league, yes, it's the teams that are the lower end of that league, John, but if they go and, you know, get a point or, you know, who knows, lose one, then the mistake that Rangers have made or the slip up counts for nothing. Celtic have to really apply the, you know, the brake to the floor now, don't they, and apply that pressure.
I mean, yeah, and this is what we've seen from Celtic over the last years. This is what has made us so successful, is that in these critical moments, we've always found it within ourselves to push on and really show the mental strength to get through these occasions. I think, you know, Celtic fans will be expecting 6 points from the next two games, and I think they're quite right to expect that. Although they're difficult and it's a midweek to weekend schedule, we've got better players than both these teams, and we've got, you know, a good reason to think that we'll be piling more pressure on Rangers, and they've got to deal with a lot now. They've got a home match tomorrow against Ross County, and as we've mentioned, against Celtic in the first half, they were actually pretty good against us. If they start badly against them and the crowd gets on their back, it's all it's panic stations. If Celtic go ahead in the match against St Johnstone, it's panic stations again. So tomorrow's a big night in a title race again.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's get your thoughts on it, John. We'll start with St Johnstone. It is away. Both games are away. What are you making of this one and your score prediction?
I mean, I don't think it's going to be too dissimilar a pattern to the last few games. I think away from home, we've looked pretty good this season, and I think we'll comfortably win 2-0. I think it might be quite similar to the game last week, and I'm just, it's just about how we start these games and if we take our chances. And with players like Edouard in the team, the likelihood is that we're going to. So I'm optimistic.
Yeah, I know. For me, this is the thing. We're saying, how will Celtic react to another team? They just have to keep their eye on themselves, focus on themselves, keep that professionalism. But it's also the way they're playing at the minute. You can't see it, Edouard slowing down. Even McGregor, we've not even spoke about him this show. He's another one that's been brilliant. We're seeing Griffiths come back into the side. You know, this is a team that really is now actually peaking, isn't it, John? They're starting to fire on all cylinders.
A little bit, yeah. I think there's still more to come from us, though. I think that's what's quite heartening, too. I mean, if you look at James Forrest, he was on an absolute tear in the first half of the season. He's only scored one goal since the end of November, so he's got more to offer, too, and the likelihood is that his form's going to turn around at any day now. So the fact that we've got even more to give, I think, is perhaps even more heartening. If we're at our peak right now and, you know, kind of muddling these two games, then it would be one thing. But I think Celtic have got much to improve on, and that's great.
Yeah, absolutely. But it bodes well for that Europa League, John. You know I can't wait for that. But Hamilton, obviously, before we speak next, what are you making of that one too?
Again, I think it's just going to be similar, and it's going to be interesting. I think it just feeds on from what happens tomorrow, how we come out tomorrow. If tomorrow's another comfortable victory, then I think Celtic are just going to keep motoring on a kind of level keel, and we'll win by another two goals or something. I don't think we're going to be going out and thrashing any of these teams, but I think we'll just be comfortably getting the job done with as much professionalism as we've seen from Celtic over the last few years.
Yeah, well, professionalism is the word. John, I can't believe our time is at an end on the show, but it doesn't matter if they're not blowing teams away, like you said. All that matters is the points, because it's now, when we're talking about other teams dropping points, we're not talking about performances, we are talking about the points, and when they're going again for another Premiership title in a one that's been so hotly contested this year, it's the points that are the prizes. Well, this has been the Celtic Fan Show with me, Charlie Hawkins, been joined by John McGinley. Always a pleasure to have John on the show. He is our Celtic star, and you can find him at the Grand Old Podcast, so make sure you do check him out. But the Celtic Show, as it always is, will be back at the same time, 8:30 to 9, every Tuesday on Love Sport Radio. Love Sport.